Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. The Epiphany hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of Light, sung by the University of Texas Chamber Singers, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. And since it's the Epiphany season, there's an emphasis on the Epiphany music there at LutheranPublicRadio.org, 24/7, absolutely free, LutheranPublicRadio.org. 40 years ago, 1 week from today, on the 22nd of January, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court made its famous Roe v. Wade decision, and it has led to, I think we can argue without any doubt, a culture of death in the United States. But what is the message of life in this culture of death? Joining us to talk about that for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled God's Gift of Life. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Great to hear from you.
Well, 1 week from today, on the 22nd of January, marks a very sad anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision called Roe v. Wade that legalized abortion in the United States without restriction and has for the last 40 years. What are your thoughts on this sad anniversary?
There's so much that can be said, and it's not easy to try to encapsulate it. I think in light of Newtown and the massacre there and the long stream of massacres that have been coming upon us, everybody's trying to search for the reasons behind these deadly events. And, of course, we've got this whole debate on gun laws. I think it's largely misguided. Very little concern with the kind of terrible violence we have and the terrible violence we have in Hollywood films. Don't get me wrong, I think sort of violent aspects of the American gun culture are problematic indeed. The whole video game culture is just horrid. And then sort of underlying this whole violent house of cards, which has become American culture, there is this horrid fundamental rejection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the fact that we have one child aborted every 60 or 70 seconds in this country. And now we complain about and are all righteously indignant against the Nazis and their murdering of 6 million, handicapped included. And now we have a track record in this great land of the free of 50 million deaths. 50 million deaths. So what do you say about that? I don't know.
I know you do a lot of reading in Hermann Zasse, a very famous Lutheran theologian of the 20th century. And he was standing on the other side of that atrocity that you just mentioned, the Nazi death camps and all of the other mass atrocities that took place in the 20th century. But he was standing before those things formally began, for the most part. And he saw in his own country, in Germany, a culture of death. What did he have to say about that? He speaks in terms of truth and lies.
He wrote, I think, the most profound words I've ever translated by Sassen, probably the most profound thing he's ever written. And he wrote it in a publication called Union and Confession. And he was stating that when Lutherans and Reformed Christians who have a different understanding of fundamentals of the faith join together and act as though those differences don't matter, then that is the demise of truth, and that has proven itself over and over again in the history of Christianity in the last 200 years. But he makes a statement more broadly, precisely in the case of 1933, when Hitler's government would now begin to force the churches into a false union. But he says, "The lie is the death of man, his temporal and his eternal death. The lie kills nations. The most powerful nations of the world have been laid waste because of their lies. History knows of no more unsettling sight than the judgment rendered upon the people of an advanced culture who have rejected the truth and are swallowed up in a sea of lies. Where this happens, as in the case of declining pagan antiquity, religion and law, poetry and philosophy, life and marriage and family, in the state and society, in short, one sphere of life after another falls sacrifice to the power and curse of the lie. Where man can no longer bear the truth, he cannot live without the lie. Where man denies that he and others are dying, the terrible dissolution of his culture is held up as a glorious ascent, and decline is viewed as an advance, the likes of which there has never been experienced." And I think we are living in our culture on a number of lies, and we all support them in various ways, but the lies of free sex and sex without consequences, the lie of the idea that my body is my own and I'm free to do with it what I please, the lie that there isn't much need in America and the opportunities aren't there to have love and care for the least. And we have this great shining country, which has been the source of so much good on both the left-hand kingdom and its churches in the right-hand kingdom, so much charity beyond any other nation on the earth. And we've got this stain of blood on our hands, and it remains.
So what is the church's message? We certainly can't hope for a message of life, especially as deep into the culture of death as we have allowed ourselves to go. But what is the church's continuing message of life, even in the midst of a very dark culture of death?
It is our sacred task, in response to the fact that Christ has redeemed the whole world. There's nobody beyond the reach of Christ's redemption. There's nobody for whom Christ has not paid. There's nobody, not even a child within the womb, who is beyond the love of Jesus. And that's our mandate. Just as we've been loved, we're called upon to love. And we will love people wherever we have the chance. We will be a light of sanity, even with our weaknesses and strengths and failings and successes, but so often our own failings. To love people around us or to love each other, still, by God's grace, we're going to care for people around us. We're going to hold up the ethic of a family. We're going to care for the broken. We're going to love each child as God's own beloved child, precious to Him in His sight. We're going to stand up for so many who are euthanized, murdered before their birth just because they are suspected of having a chromosomal malady. We're going to do whatever we can, wherever we can, to be sane in this sea of insanity. And by the strength of Christ, we will be, and we are, and will be a magnet to Christ and His blessed gospel.
I want your thoughts, because you have that perspective as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on other churches as well. And there are churches, many of them within the main line of liberal Protestantism in the United States and elsewhere in the world, that have not just turned a blind eye to the culture of death. They have become allies to the culture of death. Some of these churches, many of them, even still, in some sense, bear the name Lutheran. What are your thoughts there?
We're living in a time of great apostasy. And there are many dear, beloved Christians who find themselves within these communions who know more or less what's going on. But we are in an age of great apostasy, and the entire issue of abortion is directly connected to the sexual revolution. And the sexual revolution, of course, has produced an absolute swamp of degradation in our culture. It's produced children out of wedlock at record numbers. And, as I often say, it is not so much a racial issue. It just the sexual revolution simply attacks those who are most vulnerable culturally and socioeconomically. Now, with the same-sex attraction issues, with homosexual marriage, etc., and churches increasingly supporting that agenda, they are just demonstrating the crowning acceptance of lies and a view of humankind quite different from the Bible. So what do? We repent ourselves. We are sinners, every one of us, chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. So we don't go into this smug and looking down at other people. We're sinners in this mix. We've got our faults and failings and don't deserve anything from Christ. But we jump in, we say repent, back to the Word, and we're going to love people, and we're going to be who we are, come hell or high water.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled God's Gift of Life. You can read this column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matt, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, great to be with you. The Lord be with you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker will join us for our Sunday school lesson for this week. We'll be talking about John chapter 2, the first 11 verses, Jesus changing water into wine.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.